exciting.
Welcome to PDGA Radio as we get ready to close out the month of July in 2022. And so much has been happening recently.
And nonstop golf every single week. Recently, just a full week in Peoria, Illinois for our Masters World Championship.
More than 1,100 players, 34 new world champions in the disc golf stratosphere, which is just an incredible thing to think about. And Jennifer, you got to be a part of that as a player. I got to be a part of that in coverage, and it was just an outstanding experience. And we actually today have one of those 34 world champions with us.
Absolutely. Two-time world champion defending her first title she won last year in Tennessee, the one and only Owen Scoggins.
And she's right here on PDGA Radio. Owen Scoggins in the PDGA Radio virtual studio with Jen and I. Owen, you're coming to us from, you've blasted home to California after your big victory at Masters Worlds. How's it going?
Oh, it's having an amazing feeling. You know, it's always good to call yourself, hey, I'm a two-time world champion and I'm working hard on it and I make it done, you know, and it's just feeling amazing. So.
And Jennifer, you had a front row seat.
Yeah, both times I was able to sit there and watch her just do incredible things on a golf course. I don't know if there's someone as consistent as Owen. You know, she may not have the longest drive, but her upshots are always in her range for a putt, you know, to go in. So she plays clean, she plays smart, she works very hard, and it's been awesome the last couple of years to be right there and watch her absolutely dominate.
Well, Owen, I think that you have been obviously around the game for a long time, but I think that there are a lot of people that listen to PDGA Radio. There are a lot of people who are relatively new to the game of disc golf. And there are a lot of people that I don't think they know you that well, other than what they've seen just in the last maybe year or so. So we want to take this opportunity to back the truck up and to introduce you to the disc golf world, because so many, well, they need to get to know you. So let's go back. Let's go all the way back to the first part of your story, the part of your story that maybe even comes before disc golf.
So, you know, like I know, I've been here in USA 2009, and then my husband, he taught me how to play disc golf 2010 and 11. So I start on 2010 and 11. So it's happened from my husband. He loved disc golf so much, and he wanna enjoy play disc golf with me. That's why he was like, you know what? When you couple, you want your wife or your spouse to do a lot of things with you. So he was like, why not? You know, I love this game. I want to bring her in. That's why I play this golf. And then after that, after I played 2-3 years, and then I was start to be a pro until I play until 2016. And I took a couple year off because I'm kind of like tired and kind of like I want to do something else and or drain. You feel drained when you play so many years, and then I took like a couple year off. And then I come back again 2019, when is COVID happened. And then from that, I just find myself, man, I love this game so much. You know, I'm missing this game so much. And until that to today, so I just play this golf. It's my career now, it's my real job now, so.
Let's go back again on where you're from. So you're from Laos. Can you tell our listeners where Laos is? And you still have family there that you are looking forward to going back and visiting?
Right. So I'm from Laos and my whole family is still over there. And I have planned to visit them the end of this year. I'm going to go there for 2 months. Hopefully I can bring my disc golf and who knows, maybe putt in the tree over there. So my country is between Thailand and Vietnam. We are no ocean. We have a lot of mountain, a lot of green, a lot of river, as hot as human. And we are just only 7 million people. And everybody doesn't like to work hard. People love to party a lot. People chill out there. So we very friendly people out there. So that's why I'm missing so much. And I'm looking forward to visit my whole family. And it's going to be a great time. And don't worry, I'm going to update a lot of pictures on my Instagram. You guys are going to see all my family. And I'm going to show my country on my Instagram. And hopefully, maybe practice throw somewhere or show the kid out there, you know. I will show the kid out there what a disc golf is. And hopefully, maybe, you know, make somebody, not somebody. I'm going to make a lot of people know about disc golf out there in that 2 months. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's an awesome opportunity that you could go over there and teach the game of disc golf to a country that may not be aware of it.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, you may be able to get over there and get their first disc golf course put in your country. Like, what an incredible feeling that would be.
Right. I would love to in the future. But I just need to reach out to some people who can help me build a course out there in the future. I don't know when, but I think it's going to happen because I would love to. And why not? Disc golf is an amazing game. Doesn't matter if you rich, you poor, or you in the middle of, you know. So this game is fit for everyone. You old, you young. This game is just so good. So.
Oh, and you were, what, 28-ish when you came to the United States?
I think 26, 27.
Somewhere in there.
God, I forget. Yeah. 26, 27. And
almost 28.
Almost 28, right, babe? Yeah. I'm almost 28. And then I start to play disc golf when I'm 28, 29 years old and something.
So what were you doing before, you know, what were you doing for school? What were you doing for like work? What were you doing before?
Okay. So when I first arrived here, I'm just kind of like, didn't do anything until a year. And then I went to school for 3 months. I went to school for 3 months and then I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for a job. So my first job was like cleaning. I do cleaning at the tanning salon. I working so hard, like 8-9 hours, just cleaning, cleaning, cleaning. I lose a lot of weight. I don't have even time for eating because the whole thing is just only me cleaning. And I working so hard. So that's my first job in USA. And then after that, I went to school for massage school for 8 months. And then after that, I have a license. And then I working. And just kind of working and disc golf at the same time. That's why my game is never be good because I was working and disc golf until I just getting so tired of it. And then I just cut disc golf and just do massage the real for like almost 3 years. Like I'm talking about like cut off. I mean like no touching this. I'm just. And then after the COVID happened, and then that's why I come back to disc golf and then I cut the massage. Like I just could not do both in the same time. You know, when I do something, I have to focus. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so that's what you were doing and focusing on between 2016 and 2019. You took, you know, put your career first and was mm-hmm. working really hard. And I know you told me you had saved up a lot of money so you could, you know, devote all of your time to disc golf. So, and it's paid off. So,
yeah, definitely. Because I feel like disc golf, if you want to be good, you want to practice every day. You need to put a lot of hour on it. You just cannot be just like 2 or 3 days per week and expect yourself to be so good and be top. No, this lady, this man is working every day, all day. That's how they do. That's why they be top, top. And I was talking to myself, hey, if I want to be good in this job, I need to put a lot of hour on it. I need to be like, treat this job like a real job, like not just only a couple of days here and there. I'm talking about like 7 days a week or maybe 6 days a week. So far I'm doing it, and so far my game is getting better and better. The next thing I want to do is just try to change my form. And, you know, a lot of people, like I know myself, even my form with backhand, I kind of reach high and then go like this and then like that. I want to be level in the future. I need to like watch myself very often and I just try to do a level so I can throw further in the future. But like I said, this golf is never be too old to learn a new thing and be getting better in the, you know, even I still have a lot of things to learn, and I know I can improve more in the future. So
we all know that you're one of the best putters on tour, I think both on the male side and the female side. How many hours do you put in for practicing your putt?
Well, actually it's not that much, like an hour a day. Maybe for a lot of people, they say, wow, hour, that's a lot. No, I know a lot of people who like do like 2 or 3 hour putting. Like for me, that's blow my mind away. I thinking 1 hour was enough, but no, I'm not going to say the name, but I know some even woman just like two hour. I'm like, oh my God, it's like 1,000 putt a day. But you know what? It show on the game. Their putting is so good. Yeah. And I want to be like them, but also I don't want to push myself too much. I think hour for me is good. So hour every day, and I putting pretty fast. So I cannot count how many. It's maybe like three or four or 500 putt, I think. That's.
Do you get bored out there every day putting for an hour? Or are there certain games that you do or stations that you putt, like a routine?
It's boring. Yeah, it's boring. It's boring. I have to like, oh my God, I need to practice putt. I'm like, oh God, I feel so bored. But I feel like this is the thing, even I'm so bored, I have to do it. This is the thing. It's have to be done every day. And I try not to think about it, but it's so boring. But like I said, I have to, like, it's like you get up every morning to drag yourself to go to work. That's how I feel. But anyway, so the thing have to be done. So.
When you came to the United States, did you know very many people here? Did you know English yet when you came? And how did disc golf maybe help you, you know, get to know new friends and things?
So when I arrived here, I can speak English a little bit, not too much. I'm kind of like communicate here and there, but right now, way better. Before I was like, what they talking about? I don't get it, you know. I can just speak just like basic, not even middle or deep words. So I make friend pretty quickly. When I went to school, I make friend like from Thailand, from Vietnam, from white, black people. So the friend was like no problem for me. And this golf is just something is, you don't need to even speak with like same language. This golf is, you don't need to be understand each other to be fun. That's why it's amazing about this game. Sometimes I just like, hello? And then you just keep smiling and play with each other, and then you're done, you know, like, but this golf is, I feel like this game is bring all the people I met, they're just so humble. People I met is humble. People I met is chill compared with golf ball. I don't want to say about it, but anyway, so chill. Yeah, people is chill. People is very nice. So yeah,
You've been able to travel to so many places. Have you found like your favorite course yet? I still feel like I haven't played my favorite. Do you have a favorite that you've found, or do you still think there's a lot more out there to play?
I think, oh my God, I have so many favorite chords and I could not even pick one of them. I feel like every chord is very unique and beautiful in their own way. That's why I have a hard time to pick one. Even some people just like, oh my God, this chord is the best for me. When I go there, I'm like, man, yeah, they're the best, but I feel like another one I just play is beautiful as this one. I have a hard time on it. But I think like pick the one I don't like probably more easier. To be honest. But anyway, oh my God.
What about a favorite state? Is there a favorite state in the U.S. that you like to play in?
I like Lake Tahoe. What do you call that one? More last year. I like that one. I like North Carolina. I like that. I like Texas also. I just only don't like the heat, but I feel like a lot of things you can do after disc golf. Vermont. I like Vermont. Oh my God. I like everywhere.
Do you like more wooded courses or open courses?
I don't like too much woody and I don't like too much open course. I like to have both.
Good mixture.
Yeah, mix. Yeah. Sometimes wood, sometimes open, you know, like I like mix. I don't like anything just one side. I like to be fair for the player. I feel like but Pro Tour and DGA, they do very good job about that. So that's why I'm thank you to doing that for both players who have big arm and small arm. So yeah.
And when you're getting ready for an event, do you like to prepare a lot and play the course a lot? Or do you like to just get there maybe the day before, play it once, and you're ready to go?
I prefer to be there if it's too coarse. I prefer to be there 3 days before. But if it's four course, I would like to be there 1 week before. But if only one course, I can just be 1 day before. Or two course, if it's not too difficult, I can deal with 1 day, but it's very rare I want to doing that. So like Pro Master, everybody know I play out of Y. And I just have 1 day to practice. I'm not prefer to doing that, but I have no choice at that time. But like I said, like 2 or 3 days up is good for me.
Yeah, I want to just make sure our listeners didn't miss that. You played Idlewild, a DGPT event, the weekend of July, whatever that was, 8th through 10th, and then Masters World started on Tuesday the 12th. So you've wrapped up your final round at Idlewild on Sunday and then had to travel to where Masters World was in Illinois in like less than 24 hours. You're getting ready to play a world championship. I mean, was that extra stressful for you or were you sort of like ready to go?
Pretty much like pressure for me because last year I won. So I wanna, what do you call? Protect my word last year, right? So it's a lot of pressure and it is anything I don't wanna. I wish it's not just only 1 day to practice for me. I wishing, but that on that time I have no choice. And it so much brings stress for me. And I'm so tired of play the Ottawa, you know, in the mud, in the rain. And after that, hours sighing for my fans, picture here and there. And then I have to wrap up myself, driving like 5 or 5.5 hours. I don't remember. And then arrive here, hot, humid again. And then I have to practice hard. It's so much stressful. It's so much tired. I have no even day off to practice. No even time for celebrate my second place at Ottawa. And then Tuesday, when I played the first round, after that, I go back to practice another course, another round. And I go home, I already like, oh my God, this is so tired. This is so stressful. I have to have beer.
a well-earned drink, of course.
Yeah. So even after every round I practice, I play, I have to go back, walk through again and putting. So that's why it's a lot of stressful for me, but.
Well, you did it and you defended your title very easily. That was, your hard work has definitely paid off. And I know a lot of people look up to you for that. And so you have became a wonderful role model.
So are you. So are you.
This is about own.
Get it done. That's my girl right here, Jennifer, people.
Yeah. So hopefully we have many more years together on being out there. Do you feel like you will continue to play both FPO and Masters divisions for several years to come?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. As long as I keep practice, I feel like I can compete with both 40 and not 40, you know? So as long as I keep practice hard on it. So you guys are going to see this face for so many years, okay? So don't be tired of it. warning. So I think.
Before we leave this world's behind, what was it like playing? You said you were tired. You didn't get much prep, but then the next thing, you've got a big lead. And you got to play the last couple of rounds with a big lead. What was that like for you? Did it take a lot of stress off, or did you still feel pressure all the way until the last putt?
You know what? Thank God I play out of wide, and then that court is as hard at, I think even harder for me to these two courts, because that thing, I was like 6 over, 2 over, 3 over. My base route is 1 down. So that's why when I practice these two courses, make it easy. And then, what's that? The question?
Oh, just did you feel relaxed more at the end because you had a big lead?
Oh, you know what? For me, I just feel like even I have 8 stroke, 10 stroke, I will not celebrate yet. Anything can happen. You cannot look down to your competitor. Everybody can pull up like 10, 12 down. I'm not going to serve it until my last putt in the basket. That's why even I have big lead into final night, 12 stroke, I want to be there. I want to practice. I want to upshot. I want to keep it going. I want to just like, hey, focus. Is anything can happen? Like, that's why I want to share with people, like, don't serve it early yet. You know, you never know. You never know. And until the last part out, you know, so keep momentum strong, keep going. If you have a big lead, you want to make more big lead. You know, if you catch up somebody, you want to practice hard. You want to catch them. You know, that's.
Well, and you showed us that by continuing the exact same way that you played all week long during that final nine. You were going for every shot. You were going for every putt. And I think that is sometimes a mistake that players make when they do have a lead. They try to protect that lead and they may lay up shots or change their play or how they attack a hole. And that can quickly lead to a few strokes that they give up. So you didn't do that. You were still going for every single putt, even to the very ninth hole of our final nine, which you almost hit from probably 100 feet out. And so that is why you are the great player that you are. You go for every single shot every time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not kind of person I like to lay up much. You know, my game is pretty aggressive. If it's not dead putt, and then I'm probably gonna go for it. If it's dead putt, I'm probably just gonna lay. Depend on, you know, we have different kind of player, different kind of momentum. I totally understand if some people, when they have 4-5 stroke lead and then they just like don't want to make any mistake and then they kind of lay up here and there. I respect that. I understand. But also you have to thinking who like second place. Those people just want to win so much. They're willing to do everything to catch you. You have to look at, hey, just kind of thinking like, oh, if I lay up, this is, and then she putting for birdie. Is that worth it to lay up? Or this is too scary to go for it? And if too scary, yeah, lay up. There's nothing wrong with it. But if it's not too scary to go for it, I feel like you should just go for it because the next person gonna try to make birdie and catch you up. I see some people like, oh, just laying up, play safe. And then the end of the day, you lose because the second player and third player, they just come from nowhere and catch you. So depend on how you feel, depend on your mental game. Go with your feeling, I think so. Yeah.
Before we leave Worlds behind, let's talk about the final nine and let's talk about, we'll call it a situation.
So there was an unfortunate incident that happened right before our final nine. Those of us who were there knew that parking was very difficult. There was a limited amount of parking. And unfortunately, there was a big misunderstanding when you tried to go park with one of the volunteers. And she thought that you possibly gestured to her, which we know you did not. You know, that's not the own that we know. But unfortunately, she expressed that to the officials and the TD. And by the time that they were told, we had already started hole one of our final nine. So right when we had putted out our first hole, the PDGA official and our TD came up to you and gave you an official warning to kind of clarify. You were never stroked for any kind of violation, but you were officially warned. And you know, we kind of had to deal with that. And I think you handled it very well. And we were able to kind of stop and regroup and go on to our second hole and finish out an amazing final nine. But that was an unfortunate incident. And so just to clarify, you were not penalized and you did try to go. I was walking with you. You did try to go and apologize for the misunderstanding to the mm-hmm. volunteer.
Yeah, just explain myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that happened. So just kind of clarify, that was what we kind of had to deal with right when we started our mm-hmm. final nine.
Yeah. And also, like, I asking them, right, because they tell me, like, oh, you have to park to, what's that, cemetery, right?
Yeah, there were other parking lots. Right, there were other parking lots.
Yeah, I asked them, like, where can I go? Is it the road to go? And they said, no, you have to go here and there. I was like, oh, my God, I don't know how to go. And it's not showing the map. And I have 30 minutes left. If I have time, like, an hour. Normally, I'm the person who like to be every tournament, every round before, it's like an hour and a half. That's me. This is very rare. I'm like 30 minutes late. This is probably the first time. And it's happened in the first time. And they tell me to go parking at the cemetery. I was like, I asking them where. But they said, well, you have to go here, go there. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be chaos. I just need him to drop me off. But anyway, so that's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And I move on, you know, and I'm not mad. And then if I see them somewhere, and I'm just going to say hi, you know, just act like it. Nothing happened. It's already passed and move on. So,
yeah, absolutely. And we all want our sport to grow
yeah.
to the highest professionalism.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of people have to stop and consider if we want our sport to grow to mm-hmm. the highest level, mm-hmm. even if there's a misunderstanding, we have to accept that because yeah. we want all of our actions, both on and off the course, to mm-hmm. be respectful mm-hmm. to anyone, the fans, the volunteers, mm-hmm. the TDs. So that's just, I think this is a part of kind of the growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the misunderstanding happened. But mm-hmm. as a professional athlete that you are, you accepted that. And mm-hmm. luckily, you did not have to really stress and worry about mm-hmm. any strokes lost or anything like
yeah.
that. And this is just another stepping stone in our sport to grow to a new level.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, this is just small little thing is happening. So it's not a big deal, you know. So we just gonna, we are growing up. So little thing in your life. So no problem. Move on like a champ.
Move on. Speaking of moving on, what is your next tournament lined up or your next several events?
Oh, my God.
We're
goodness.
Just like halfway through the year here.
soon, next week, going to be Great Lake Open. And then after that's going to be, what's that?
Ledgestone.
And then
back to Peoria.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After Ledgestone, I have 1 week off. And then after that, if I can get in World, I'm on the waiting list number 8 right now. Yeah.
You're on the wait list for World?
Yeah, I'm on the wait list because I was like sigh late, probably like a couple weeks late. Because I was so busy, I missed the day side. It's my fault, by the way.
My goodness. That just shows how hard it is to get into all tournaments these days.
Yeah, I was so late because I was like have tournament every week. And then the next thing I know, I was like 2 weeks late and I was on a waiting list. If I can't get in, that's going to be my, after Ledgestone, it's going to be World or Team Slingsky. And then after that, who know, you know, Green Mountain, MVP, Throw Ping, those kind of thing. But it's no big deal if I cannot get in. I totally understand. It's all my fault. I'm not blame anybody and respectful. So if I'm not getting in this world, so I'm trying to get in next year. So,
yeah. Just to recap, in 2021, you earned over $27,000, and that was your highest career earnings so far. This year, you've already earned over $28,000. And we have a couple more majors to go. So it, again, just proves your hard work, how well it pays off, literally.
okay. 28,000, isn't it? Right, you just say
so far this year.
You guy missing a match play. I just make that one 10,000. That should be that.
Grant, did you? That's.
I went by what's under your profile, your PDGA player profile. So
there, right?
They so, should. That is so true.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, that's proved me. The hard work is paying off, and then that is not done yet. I still have like almost 10 tournaments to go, and that can end up more in the future. So that's no doubt.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we underestimated based on that event that's not part of the official PDGA results. That's pretty cool. So it's even better than we thought.
I
want to share another little behind the scenes thing about you, Owen. So I'm going to start by saying right after you won Masters Worlds last week, one of the first people that came up to you with a disc to sign was Jennifer because you had signed a disc last year when you won Masters Worlds last year. So she came up to you and she made you scribble out your one time and put two time on it. But to me though, that just made me think of, you mentioned earlier about signing discs and greeting the fans at Idlewild and how that took a while. I was standing right next to you this week at Worlds when a little boy right in the middle of your round came running up to you on the fairway to give you a hug and get a picture. And it's okay. He didn't know any better, but he came up and just, what has that been like for you? Having fans that recognize you and that want you to sign things. What's that like?
I mean, it's me and everything, you know, that's mean like all our hard work is paying off. All is our, many hour is recognized from the fan. And I mean, ask Jennifer, she have so many fans too, which is, it make us very happy, make us very proud. And it send us, like send our feeling to the moon. Like I cannot describe. Here's the thing, I've been playing so many tournaments. Some rounds take 4 or 5 hours. And then when you're done, you're so tired, you're hungry, you're exhausted. And then when your fans asking you for sign, one person passed by, second person, and then the next thing you see is a big line. But even that, even you feel tired, even you're so exhausted, you're hungry. But that feeling, when you see the fan, you will say, oh, is make you like, oh, yes, make you have so much energy because these people take their time, take their energy. It's not like one or two people. 10, 20, 30, that 10, 20 energy is take time for just one energy for me. You know, you understand what I'm trying to explain? These people, so many people will take their time, take their energy mm-hmm. and love and support to just want to feed one energy like me. That's why it feels like over the moon for me. So that's why even I'm so tired, I don't care. I do everything for my fan. Even I eating, breathe, my fan just like, oh, on, can I, you know, can you stop him? I'm like, let's go. Come on, come on. Even I'm eating, I have no problem. Everything for my fan. Even not fan, doesn't matter. Jennifer Asher, I'm like, yeah. She has so many
This is your show, Owen. This is your show. What other goals do you have set forth, you know, in the upcoming years? Have you looked ahead in the future of other things you want to accomplish?
So the best, the main thing is try to change my form, and my goal to just maybe win one pro tour. I would love to. One pro tour. I don't ask much, just one. One pro tour, change my game, and then build more fans and perform good whole year. I don't care top five, even top 10, because nowadays top 10 is so hard to make it. And then whatever make my fan happy. Yeah. So that's the most important.
Yeah. Well, Owen, we have a listener question for you. Somebody put this on our Twitter account, our @PDGA_radio Twitter account. A question just for you. This is from a user named @TomMacGarrett. Who asks, how do you warm up and protect your wrist from injury due to how many forehands you throw?
First of all, I'm exercise first. Move up my leg, my arm, make the blood flowing, and then throw a cheap jab with just like 100, 200 feet, 4, 5, whatever. And then after that, I throw big time sidearm because anything when you warm up your body first, you're gonna prevent like at least like 60% of the injury. So, and then after that, when you warm up that and then just little throw here and there, upshot first and then little sidearm. And also when I throw sidearm, I'm keeping level. I'm not throw like very high sidearm or really low. I'm just keep the level, so that's why I never have problem. I haven't played this golf for so many years. I have no problem with sidearm surgery. Oh, no, what do you call it? Injury. And then even backhand injury, because I warm up and then go with a little upshot first. And like I said, you know, so that's my answer. Not much, just only 4 or 5 little cheap shot sidearm. That was his question, right? So
yeah.
I like it. I think we can all learn from that.
So we're going to wrap up our show here with the one and only Owen Scoggins by doing a little quick cues, which is kind of a thing that Grant and I like to do. So Owen, we're going to ask you several questions and you just give us the first thing that comes to mind. So starting off, Owen, do you have any secret talents that your fans don't know about?
I can eat all kind of vegetable or fruit out of the course. I can qualify that fruit or vegetable is good to eat. Boom.
That I will definitely defend her on that. That is definitely a talent that she owns.
And a lot of people are just like, can you eat that? Honestly, Hell yeah. You can eat it. I didn't know the thing.
How yeah. many, what so. Was it? Mulberries? Is that what they were yes. at Worlds off the trees?
I still thinking about them. Oh my God. I cannot get enough of them. So good. They're mulberry. That mulberry. And they taste good. They're healthy.
But
you guys should have it.
But you also pointed out uh-huh. the other berries and said, don't touch those.
The little
you said, red don't ones. Eat the red oh, ones.
You know, yeah, the red one. I never eat that one because that thing, if the bird not eat, the squirrel not eat, it's not good for own stockings.
There's a t-shirt right there.
I have to look at, is that animal eat also? Squirrel, bird? If they eat, I can eat also. You know what I'm saying?
Bird,
so I would tip. So
if right it's there. Not good for the bird or the squirrel, it's not good for Owen Scoggins. I love that. There it is.
Yep.
That's the new t-shirt.
Yep.
Owen,
are
you into movies or music? And if so, is there a actor or a musician that you would love to meet?
You're in LA. I'm sure you maybe have came across a few.
You know what? I don't know. It's kind of... I don't know if it's silly or not, but long time ago, I was watching Avatar. And I know this year, the next one coming soon, this end of the year. I'm looking for it. I cannot wait. I'm waiting for that movie for so many years. It's too long. So Avatar, the end of this year.
Do you want to meet the actors?
Oh my God. You know what? It's crazy because before I was like living in LA, right? Oh, not before. I working at a tanning salon. So I see so many stars in there. I see David Beckham, Kim Kardashian, the Victoria's Secret model, Jennifer Aniston.
Dang!
You name it. I see so many, but I could not ask them for size. You have to be a professional. Otherwise you get fired. But I see so many actor in there because our tanning salon was on Robeson. Is near to what is that place? Near to the famous people house, like very fancy area. So I see so many stars. Love. Yeah. So
oh, that's awesome. Owen, if you were not a disc golfer, is there another career that you would like to pursue?
Oh my God! Any career? I mean, can be surviving show or eating show.
Yeah, anything you want to do.
I can be a surviving show because I love all kinds. I love to learn like the nature. I love to learn what's a mushroom you can eat, the vegetable, fruit. I think I might be good about it. Like, you know,
yeah.
So that's can be or traveling show, whatever, or eating show.
Maybe we can start your own, like how to survive lost on a disc golf course with Owen Scoggins.
Yeah, maybe surviving how to eat and surviving like starving in the course.
Yeah, I think it could work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's probably might be. Yeah.
I love that. Well, I think maybe you've said it, but maybe not. What is your favorite food?
Ooh. God, I love Thai food. I love India food. I love Italian food. I love my food, of course, loud food.
It's amazing.
Mexican?
It's amazing she's so tiny because she does. She eats a lot.
I eat a lot. I eat a lot. You know what? It's crazy. Thank you, America. We have all kind of food in here. We have so many variety food and all of them is so good from around the world we have in here. So like I said, I can eat with a lot of food. I think I eat everything.
You also enjoy cooking as well, correct?
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people probably think like, just only know how to play this golf. No, actually, I'm good wife. I cook, I clean, I do a laundry, and I can cook Thai food very well, but I just don't have much time. But when I have time, I cook good. My husband loves my food. He never said no to my food. He, oh, babe, your food is good. You better. No. I'm kind of enjoy to cook food. I said, if you not enjoy my food, you buy outside. You eat outside.
Find the door.
I think I can I'm not cook very much, but when I cook, I cook good.
Yeah. What about back to school? Was there a favorite subject that you enjoyed the most when you were in school?
My school is only English school. So it teaches them how to writing and how to speak and reading. So simple. I just enjoyed it because I have friend over there, but it's simple. It's just like learn how to talk and writing. And everybody just like come from everywhere. No one understand each other talking. Eat, drink, okay, go. You know, like, it's so crazy. Like so many kind of different country be there. It's very interesting. And it's funny. So I love it.
Mm. Owen, do you have what we call a guilty pleasure?
So much. I love drinking. I love eating pizza. I enjoy eating like unhealthy food sometimes because why not? After you're working so hard, your stomach and your brain thinking about it, and I treat myself like, let's go get it. No, that's probably my guilty. But I'm not do it every day. That's why most of the time I eat very healthy, like organic stuff, you know. But sometimes your body and your brain just like, come on, Owen, you need to get it. I'm like, okay, let's go. So, yeah.
I know I can always count on you to let me know of good breweries that are around the tour stops. So
hell yeah. You know what? Like last week, I've been to like probably 4 or 5 different breweries. Seriously.
Did you go to the one that was like an old church? Did you guys make it over to that one? It was downtown Peoria. So when we go back to Ledgestone, there is I'll look up the name of it, but there's the old church that was turned into a brewery. It's pretty neat.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Maybe ask Kelly and Sandra to join us. You know me. I love to go explore the new brewery.
Owen, is there a dream house that you would love to be? And where would that house be if you and Justin had any place you could move?
I love North Carolina. I don't like to have a big house. I just like to have cute house, but I like to have big yard. I love to grow a garden. I love to grow my own vegetable. And I would love to have big place so I can throw and party, you know, like maybe feed my 2 or 3 basket. But the house, I don't care about. I don't care about big house. I just care about cute house and full of love. Big yard. That's the only thing. And then have maybe river nearby so I can swimming on, jump in there. I'm kind of like a remote area woman. So I'm not into like a city. I'm kind of.
So you may move from the West Coast to the East Coast, huh?
In the future, maybe. Or maybe even Portland. I love Portland except too much raining. Oh, my God. Otherwise, that's going to be my dream place. Or Santa Cruz. I love Santa Cruz. But so expensive. Oh my God, I don't have money to buy a house with it. But anyway, so like I said, small house, big yard, big garden, plenty of water or lake for me. Yeah.
Owen, is there something not disc golf that you would like to do in your life that you've never done?
I want to be a farmer.
Huh.
Yeah, I want to be a farmer. I want to be like a grow a lot of vegetable and maybe just go sell at the farmer market. No, a lot of people don't know about me about this one. Anything when I'm out of this job, I go direct to my house. And the first thing I do, I go direct to my garden. Check it out. Clean my garden. Take care of my vegetable. My happiness is my garden after this job. That's why I can be all day, all night in my garden and just sitting there, have my coffee or eat food and just sitting and look at my vegetable growing up and pick them and eat them. Oh, that's my happiness. I can do that. No problem in my life.
Well, Owen, let's wrap up these quick cues on and maybe give our listeners one good tip. If there is anything that you could help, maybe a beginner player or even a professional player, what advice would you give them on improving their game?
Okay, here's the thing. Simple. Just play with fun first. Play for fun. play for fun. And then when you play for fun, you're gonna love it. When you love it, you're willing to work hard. And then when that work hard, you not feel like you force yourself to work hard because you enjoy to doing it. You know what I'm saying? And then if you have wife or girlfriend, don't force your wife or girlfriend or teach them, oh, you should throw like this, like that. Let them have fun. And then when they have fun, they will get into it. And then you both have fun.
That's some great advice.
I can't think of a better way to wrap this up. That was beautiful. So Owen, we don't want to take away. You've got kind of an off week here before you're heading to D-Glow, correct? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So you've got sort
next
of an,
week, yeah.
a rare off weekend. And the last thing that Jennifer and I want to do is take any more time away from your time at home. So, thank you so much for this time that you've spent with us. I'm very envious that Jennifer will get to see you before I will, but sometime next month we'll cross paths again. And I look forward to it as always.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, both of you work so well. I always listen to you guys commentary. You guys do the best. I love you guys. You guys just awesome. Keeping the good job out there. And hey, congratulations to Jennifer, my teammate right here. She's the best and she's awesome. You know, so out and in the course. So follow her in the Instagram and follow me in the Instagram also, you know, @_Scoggins. So, and then follow Jennifer. You know, we both, you know, love to share lady out there and we both like support ladies. So keep it high, lady. Yeah.
Thanks, Owen. Love you.
Love you too. Love you both. Bye.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us again to wrap up July here on PDGA Radio.
Speaking of wrapping up July, you have about 5 more days to let your voice be heard in the PDGA annual board of directors elections. Now, if you're not sure who to vote for, you can go right back in the history of this very podcast and you can find interviews with most of the board of directors candidates. And if that's not enough, there's a special article called Get to Know the Candidates, and it's archived at pdga.com. It's very, very important that you learn about these candidates and that you vote for the 2 candidates that you think will guide this organization and the whole sport of disc golf into a positive direction for the future. And I got to tell you, Jen, we're looking at somewhere around 10% right now in terms of the number of people that could vote that actually have voted. That means 90% of you listening right now need to vote.
Get out there. Let's make it happen.
Make sure you cast your vote by checking your email. Whatever email is connected to your membership at the PDGA, that's where you will find your ballot. Okay, I'm done being the principal. We're going to get out of here. We got lots of things to do and an incredibly busy month of August to dive into in the disc golf world. So until then, PDG Radio, see ya.
Bye, everybody.